Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
A child of God. As the band continues to play, I want to get some prayer partners around Nate and Melissa. I want to get some prayer partners around Nate and Melissa. Woo! God is, let's move over there. Let me tell you what. I just believe for the miracle for Nate and Melissa and the puppy. I believe for their total family miracle. Because one day Nate's going to come completely out of that wheelchair and he's going to dance across this stage. I'm believing for that because God is a miracle working God. God is a miracle working God. If you want to gather around Nate and Melissa, you can walk all the way from the other side of that auditorium if you want to. But we're going to partner with Nate and Melissa in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, bring him out of that wheelchair. Bring him out of the wheelchair, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We're believing for the miracle that he would walk completely. We've seen the miracle in his arms. We've seen the restoration of his arms. We've seen the strength grow in his arms out of the miraculous, the supernatural. But God, we've even seen the legs getting stronger. We see the legs getting stronger, the muscles beginning to grow, the brain and the muscles all in cooperation together. We've seen the beginning of the miracle. But your word says, he who began a good work in me will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And it's not just a spiritual, it is the physical, it is the financial, it is the mental health, it is the emotional health. Because he who began a good work in me will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's not going to stop. God's work continues because the prayers of a wife, the prayers of a mother, the prayers of a father, the prayers of a church family are going up to heaven, and we're believing for the miracle. How about you? How about you? Sing it again. How about you? Do you believe in that? Let's do it again. Come on. Make that declaration. Jesus said, do you know who you are? I am a child of God. Jesus is asking you, do you know who you are? Nate and Melissa, do you know who you are? I am a child of the living God. Yes, yes. Come on, that's it. Now give the Lord a huge hand. Give the Lord a huge hand. He is King and he is our God. He is our King and he is our God. We're believing for the miracle for you and for your family. Years ago, there was a great speaker that used to say this every Sunday when I'd see him on TV. I believe that something good is about to happen to you. I believe that something really good is about to happen to you. I can't even tell you what it is, but I can tell you who's going to bring it.
Amen.
And his name is Jesus, and he is the anointed one. And he is the anointed one who anoints you. There's a special time that we're going to continue on in this worship. It's a special time of communion. Pastor Mike is going to come up. I'm going to ask you just to sit down for a second. There were two things Jesus said to do. When he went away, he sent us into the world to reach the lost, and he said, do this in remembrance of me. Take this before the Lord, Pastor Mike.
Thank you, Pastor Barry. Thank you, worship team, for that great time of worship. We are going to go in, and I'll tell you, it's just to show you how God works. There were some different things that were laid on my heart for what we were going to do today with communion. And I knew that that last song that we were getting ready to sing, No Longer a Slave to Fear. I am a child of God. And one of the things I thought about, and we just witnessed it right here, as folks came before praying, lifting up things that are taking place in their life. And so along with not being a slave to fear, we are not a slave to brokenness. We experience a lot of brokenness in our lives. But we can bring that. We can place it before God. Let him work with it. And we're going to listen to a song in a little bit while communion is served. But it talks about how God's looking for those people who have that brokenness. But he can use them. He can bring wholeness to them. He can restore them. And then he can use them for his service. Father, we come to you, Lord. We do have brokenness in our lives. But you're able to use us. All we do, all you ask is that we just come and we just give what we have. Just put ourselves at your feet. Lay that brokenness at your feet for you to deal with. That's not for us to deal with. That's for you to deal with, Lord. And that you can use us.
Everybody stand just for a second. Just stretch your hands out to the heavens. Just give yourself over to him completely. Just give yourself over to him completely. Stretch your hands to the heavens. We have our children's ministry joining us today. Just stretch your hands to the heavens. It's just a sign of total surrender. Just a sign of total surrender. Father, we give to you this day all that we have, all that I am, all that I will ever be. I surrender to you. I want you to say that. Heavenly Father, I surrender all to you. I give. Heavenly Father, I am yours and you are my God. To you, I surrender everything, my past, my present, my future. I surrender and I joyfully give it over to you, because you can, only you can make good of it. And in the name of Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, I say yes, Lord. I surrender. Now give the Lord a huge hand. Woo! Give the Lord a huge hand. That's it. Wow. Father, you are good. Tell him that. You are good. You are good. Say, I am a child of God. I declare that today. I am a child of God, bought, paid for. Woo! He owns me. He is mine. He is my God. Now give the Lord another great hand. Woo! That was powerful. That was powerful. Go ahead and have a seat just for a second. I want to share with you an opportunity that we have. I told you there were two things that Christ commanded before he left. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. We know it as the Great Commission. Unfortunately, sometimes we treat it as the great option. And there were crickets. We our actions often show that we believe it's the great option. And yet, I believe you might actually get a court-martial in an Army or a United States Air Force uniform if your superior officer, your admiral or a captain on a ship, or admiral in a navy, or a general overseeing a battlefield, if someone disobeyed a direct order, there would actually be, it's called a commission. That's where you are commissioned to go. And they don't turn around and say, you know, General, I really don't like those. I don't like these orders. You know, there might be bullets flying right there in that area. So I'd kind of like to resubmit for another thing, you know. Maybe I could serve coffee. My father-in-law was in the military. He was in the Army during World War II. He had bullets flying over his head. He was in the there was one battle in the was it the Black Forest, Gina?
I think it was the Black Forest, that your dad actually was a part of the battle in the Black Forest, and there were bullets flying over his head, and I won't give you all the details. He was in the middle of combat. He didn't have a choice. That's where he was commissioned. And he saw much tragic things there in that forest. He made it back safely. And not long after that, there was a colonel that came through, and they were all standing at attention, and he said that we were being visited by an upper level colonel, and he said, I just need to know, does anybody here know how to type? Gil White raised his hand as fast as he could. He was an excellent typist. That's one of the things he to the day he died, he typed his sermons, his messages. Or his Sunday school class things. He typed it all on the old typewriter, not the electric. He typed it on the old typewriter. And that guy, he raised his hand and he said, you're going with me. That he said, I could have kissed that colonel. Because wherever that colonel went, bullets weren't flying after that. You see, you're looking for the one who can commission you wherever it's most needed. But at the same time, there are times where being a child of God matters. And he can take you right out of the line of fire. You get that? I said he can take you right out of the line of fire. When you call on him, he is the one who steps in and immediately finds that place of refuge just for you and for me. Will you do that with me? Okay. Are you ready to be asked the most important question you will ever be asked in your life? Everybody turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. The most important question, and in fact, we were singing about it all day long. Listen to this conversation between Peter. This is Matthew chapter 16. And Jesus, in verse 13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, who do you say the Son of Man is? Or who did the people say, rather, the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist. I can imagine the conversation. It's just being recorded, kind of a casual conversation. We don't know who said this. We don't know who said that. But they were involved in the conversation. Give a hand to our children's ministries as they're going back to kids' church. We love you guys. They're going to be joining us on Sunday mornings, just so you know, during worship. We want them to experience. We're going to try this for a few months. See if we can just kind of plug the kids into our worship. Mom and Dad, just so you know, it's your time to shine. There, we want them to see Mom and Dad actually worshiping God. Are y'all hearing me? We want them to actually watch that their Mom and Dad worship God. And celebrate the heavenly host. I mean, it's an opportunity for us. So we're going to plug them in every Sunday morning, and then we'll dismiss them to go. Okay? So anyway, Jesus goes on. They replied, some say that you're John the Baptist. Others say that you're Elijah. And still others, Jeremiah. Or one of the prophets. Boy, that's a big one. Have you ever heard people say, you know, I believe Jesus was a great prophet. They're still saying that today. He was, you know what? It amazes me how many quote unquote religious people who don't want to commit to a faith in Christ actually think that they're complimenting Christ by saying, oh, I think he was a great prophet. I really respect him. And they're actually trying to pay you homage for your faith. But what they're denying in just that one, he is prophet, he is priest, and he is king. They were saying it back then even. There were those who were derailing the reputation and trying to, if you think modern day politics is where it all began, I got news. It existed when Jesus walked on the face of the earth. They were saying, well, he's a great prophet. Great prophet. We pay homage. But Jesus isn't looking for homage. He's looking for your heart. He says, but what do you say about me? What about me? He asks, who do you say I am? The greatest question and most important question you will ever be asked. And listen to what Peter says. This is what Peter says. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am?
Simon Peter in verse 16, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." In other words, let me tell you what he said, what he actually said. He said, "You are the anointed one." These are Jews that are talking here. He didn't just use the name Christ. We think sometimes in our culture, in fact, if you ask most people in America, what's Jesus' last name, they'll say Christ. But that isn't what Peter said. He wasn't saying, "This is Barry Ivy," or "You're Barry Ivy." What he was saying is, "You are the anointed one. You are Yeshua, the anointed one." That's what he said to him. "You are Yeshua, the anointed one." He made a declaration that tied him directly to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, "For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." And then he talks about setting the captive free and letting prisoners go. He identified him with the great prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 61. He said, "You are the anointed one." He recognized he's the anointed one. He's not just a great prophet. He's not just a great teacher, which he was both. But he immediately acknowledged, went right to the heart of the issue. When the disciples were asked, Peter was the, I don't know that others didn't say things. I have no clue. But what we know is Peter was the one who made the declaration of the anointed one. He said in one version, "You are Messiah." He is the answer to all of our sin. He is the sacrifice. He is the one who was to come, who was prophesied by the great prophets. And all of a sudden, Peter's just laying this out in one statement. "You are the anointed one." Today, when you ask people, and I know they're trying to have a more casual relationship, and people are trying to get casual about this so we don't sound religious. "He's the big guy upstairs." I got news. "Well, he's the boss." Yeah, well, he is. He is the boss. But there are bosses on earth, and there are big guys on earth. There is no other anointed one. And Peter, he lays it right out and he said, "You are the anointed one." Not an anointed one. He said, "You are the anointed one." Today, I would ask you simply, I think it's a great question. Who do you say Christ is? And I'm not just talking about with your lips. We know how to say the right thing. We know how to verbalize. If we've been in church any length of time, Mike and I have been in church almost the same amount of time in our lives. We know how to couch things. If you've been in church any length of time and you know the word a little bit, just a little bit, you know how to sound faithful or full of faith. But we're talking what, when I ask you, who do you say Christ is? I'm talking about your lifestyle. I'm talking about your prayer life. I'm talking about knowing Him in His Word. Who do you say I am? And some of us, our lifestyles say this. "He's inconvenient." I'm serious. I look at these and I wonder with great responsibility on my shoulders and on Pastor Mike's shoulders and on the pastoral staff shoulders and the eldership shoulders. I wonder, are we really getting across at times who he really is, the anointed one? He isn't the one we come to church with on Sunday morning. He's the one that transforms. Remember what we said last week. Christ is not into information. He's not just about read your Bible so that you can get 5 chapters under your belt daily and walk around with pride. "Oh, I've got 5 chapters in. I got 5 chapters in the Word of God today." You know what that kind of thing does? That kind of thing brings guilt when you only get to 3. And then you think, "Well, I wasn't as serious today." Can I tell you something? Seriously, if you hit one verse and it brings revelation, stay there. Stay there. Don't move past it, because the rest of it, seriously, is what it's a, if God's revealing something to you here and you leave the steak for the blueberry pie, He's trying to give you something. He's trying to clothe you with armament. He's trying to clothe you with an anointing. And when we treat this as information instead of revelation and transformation, because I believe it happens that way. How will they know unless they hear? Well, let's hear. But then we need to act like we actually believe. Our actions need to match the anointed one. What do I mean by that? We are anointed. We are the anointed ones. Here, now, Jesus said you'll do greater things than you've ever seen me do. If you really believe that Jesus is the anointed one, and if I really believe that he is the anointed one, youth, if you guys really believe that he is the anointed one, if we really believe that, then we believe we're anointed. Because the anointing is on us. And he said, you'll see greater things than you've ever seen me do. Go out into all the world and preach the gospel. He gave it away before he ever left the face of the earth. He gave it to the disciples. You go heal. The disciples would come back and they'd say, Lord, it didn't work. Why didn't it work? He'd say, it's a faith issue. Oh, ye of little faith. These things only come about through prayer and fasting. You see, he's inconvenient. There are times, I'm just being totally real with you. There are times in my life when Christ was very inconvenient for me. And I had to choose the inconvenient. And there are times I chose the convenient, by the way. I'm just being completely real with you. I chose the convenient. Because let me give you another example. There are times that urgent things will scream out to you. And to me, there are urgent things. I got to get the lawn mowed today because we're going over to a family event. I got to get the lawn mowed. Oh my goodness, there's no gas in the gas can. I got to go get gas in the gas can. I forgot the weed trimmer. I got to go over to Walmart, get some weed trimmer. And the entire time, it's eating away from family time. It's eating away from getting into him time. And we treat it, he's inconvenient. He does, you know, if God could just give me a break on Saturday morning so I don't have to, you know, worry so much about him. And the truth is, seriously, the urgent always scream out loudly over the eternal. It's inconvenient, but That's at minimum what the cross was. For Christ, it was inconvenient for him to leave his place at the Father's right hand. It was inconvenient. It was torture for him to step down and to limit himself. I'm not talking about just the cross or the torment before the cross, the cat of nine tails. I mean, to limit himself as a human being for 33 years to submit himself to total humanity. It was inconvenient. But he loved us, and he recognized the need. And can I tell you something? It's going to be really inconvenient for you and for me to set a Saturday aside in a couple of weeks and to walk neighborhoods and potentially have people say something to us. Please don't put that on my door. Respect them immediately. Respect immediately. Don't put it on the door handle. But it's inconvenient, the whole kingdom issue. It's a very inconvenient issue. And yet God says, who do you say I am? Well, listen, this morning I'm serving the anointed one. You are serving the anointed one. I just believe that about you. I trust that you're serving the anointed one, the one who brings transformation, not just information. And then we're serving the one who said, now go give this transformation. He didn't say go give information away. He said preach the gospel. What's the gospel? It's great news. Now that's a tough sell in America. It's not a tough sell in Guatemala, is it, Don and Barb? It's not a tough sell there, is it? There's great news. Something better is going to happen after this life. That's not a hard sell in Guatemala. That's not even a hard sell in Panama. That's not a hard sell here in America, but it is it's actually a hard sell, I meant to say. It is a hard sell here in the United States. Those third world countries, it's not a hard sell. Because you see, they hope that there's something better than this. And what Jesus was telling these Jews, who were being, by the way, tortured by the Roman government, they were being persecuted by the Roman government, go give them hope. And today, we live in an America that is dangerously close to not surviving our own success. One of the founding fathers, and I'll be honest with you, I am trying to think of which one it was. It seemed like it was Ben Franklin. Said the greatest danger for America will be its own success. Dealing with its own success. You see, these disciples, they really had nothing to lose and everything to gain. But for an American, and I'm just being real with you guys, for an American, it looks like there's a lot we have to let go of. And the truth is, the last breath you take on this earth, you're letting go of it anyway. It ain't yours. It's on loan right now. It is completely on loan right now. Nothing you take except your loved ones sitting with you today will you ever take to heaven with you. So let's look at this. Who is he? Who do you say Christ is today? He is the anointed one. And he may be the inconvenient one, but I'm asking you to get inconvenient with us as a leadership. I'm asking you to get inconvenient with us as a church family. And let's go reach people for the cause of Jesus Christ. If we could reach these children, I don't want to stand before God someday. And our goal, by the way, is if they don't have a church family, to actually be able to plug them in here as a part of our church family and embrace them and let them have a place to belong to. I'm going to hear these words a lot. I believe that on this day. We didn't even know you were up here. That's what we're going to hear. Isn't that sad? Well, it's only sad if we leave it that way. So now we're going to go into all the world and we're starting with our Jerusalem. Jesus said, start with Jerusalem, didn't he? Then Judea and then the othermost parts of the earth. We're going to start in our Jerusalem. We're going to start right here in Weldon Spring. And we're going to hit another at least 2,000 homes on August 5th. Say it again. July 15th. July 15th, correct? Thank you. Pam, what date is it? We're walking it July 15th. And August 5th, we're going to do the event right here in St. Charles River Church properties. Yeah. Now you know what Gina lives with. How'd you like to live with that on a daily basis? Stand with me just for a second, will you? Heavenly Father, today we declare that you're the anointed one. We declare, God, you are the anointed one. You are the one who is and is to come. And only you alone will we serve. Lord, we choose the inconvenient. As of today, we choose to be inconvenienced because of what you chose to go to the cross. It's nothing compared to what you chose. It shouldn't even be in the comparison. But because of what you chose to do for me personally at the cross, I choose to be inconvenienced for the cause of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. And every believer said, amen. Give the Lord a huge hand.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.